when the lost are told of their fate. It's going to be a sad day if you haven't made preparation against that day.
Amen.
The way things is looking, that day is coming a whole lot faster than a lot of people are realizing. To get this thing untangled here. We put that message on the internet last night, and I'm not that smart, but a young boy is helping me. And there's 20-some people downloaded that message last night. Just a simple message. Tonight will be a simple message. We don't need to get too deep. I don't see no theologians here tonight. I'm not that smart. Just a little dog in the fight. But I want the devil to know I'm saved.
Amen.
And I want him to know, buddy, I ain't like Lot's wife. I ain't looking back. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. We'll get this jacket off here. We'll be taking our text tonight, Matthew chapter 3. I woke up this morning, 4 o'clock, right on the dot. I'm talking about when I opened up my eyes, it wasn't 4:01, it wasn't 3:59, it was exactly 4 o'clock. I always tell them, I have devotions on Saturday morning. Me and the Lord always meet Saturday mornings, and it's almost right on the money, 4 o'clock every Saturday morning. But this morning, it was precisely on the dot. And I fell over on the bedside there, and of course, I didn't have a whole lot, but I prayed about 20-some minutes, went fixed a pot of coffee, got my Bible out, had a little devotion there with the Lord, a little fellowship with the Lord. The Bible says, draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. And that's what I like to do, is draw nigh to Him. And I want Him to draw nigh to me. And I sought Him about what He wanted preached tonight, and it's simple. You don't have to be, you don't have to get too deep, too high. The Lord used simple things to tell great truths, and that's what we hope to do also tonight. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read the whole chapter. And we'll start there in verse number 1. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1, it says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. I had honey for breakfast this morning. Pretty good. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Wouldn't it be good if we could have a meeting like that? People would come from everywhere. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Boy, that'd be good. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is our text. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you may be seated. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of God. Father, we pray tonight for our help to be from on high. We confess, Lord, that we have no ability or any talent at all to offer you. And I just yield myself, Lord, as a vessel. Father, just clay. Ask, Lord, dear Lord, you might mold us, make us what we need to be for tonight. Lord, for our heart's desire, Lord, is just to be used by God. And Lord, we have no boast in Eddie Wade. Our boast is in you. And I just pray, Lord, you'd preach to us and through us tonight. I pray you do your mighty works in our midst. May we marvel. Lord, may we see, like Job said, he said, I see where he works. May we see that tonight. May the Holy Spirit challenge our hearts. May the Word of God become real tonight. May the Holy Spirit do his visitation tonight. May he be the usher, Lord, that you would use tonight to help those that need to come tonight and make things right. For all we know, Lord, the trumpet may sound tonight. For all we know, Lord, this may be the last service this side of eternity. For whatever you do, Lord, I pray, Lord, you get the praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach tonight. I was expecting my granddaughter to be here tonight, and I was encouraged by this message because it's just a simple message, no deep theology involved here. But we're going to preach tonight, when you get saved. Now, Jesus never was ever lost, and yet he showed us in what I just read you there, things that are involved in getting saved. Now, the preacher has preached. John, I like John. He's my kind of preacher. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm about a little bit of John myself. I like to rear back and let her go. Amen. I preached up on the public square for 10 years, hollering up there and screaming up there like a Comanche Indian. And the Bible does say, cry aloud and spare not. Tell my people their sin and theirs are their transgressions. I do believe in the preaching. God chose the foolish of preaching to save them that believe. I heard it one day. It did seem to be a little bit foolish, but I believed it and I got saved. Amen. It still gets the job done. God said, my word will prosper in the thing it's sent to do. It will not return to me void. But listen, here's the great thing about getting saved, is that you miss hell. Amen. Man, I had hell hanging over me. I was afraid to close my eyes at night. I still remember, boy, the pains of hell getting a hold of me. And I'm telling you, buddy, it was a fearful thing to close my eyes at night. I wonder if I was going to wake up in the next morning this side of eternity, or my fate sealed in the place prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, Brother Melvin. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3, how shall we escape? And you won't. If we neglect so great salvation, no sir, you won't escape. Amen. No ma'am, you won't. I'm going to tell you something, God keeps good records. Amen. The Bible said, the Lord knoweth them that are his, Sister Michelle. Said the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone name the name of Christ apart from iniquity. But not only does Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 verse number 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? I mean, all through that Bible, there's a warning about a place called hell.
Amen.
It wasn't made for us. We'll be trespassers if we end up there. We'll be trespassing the will of God. You remember that verse you quoted out of 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9? That God's long-suffering to us. We're not willing to any perish, but all come to repentance. I'm telling you, when that angel come down and announced about Jesus Christ being born into this world, he said goodwill towards men, peace on earth. I'm telling you, God's will towards you is good, beloved. He don't want you to go to hell. God's not. He is angry with the wicked every day. I ain't going to say he's not. And I'll just tell you right now, best thing you do is get good and saved. Get on the right side of God. God made heaven for us. He don't need heaven, Todd. It was one of them unspeakable gifts, kind of like Calvary. Not only did he give his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time, but he said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Now, I used to teach Sunday school, and I don't, you know, when you get saved, first thing to do is put you in the Sunday school class. But Melvin and Rick put me in there, and I'm teaching 10 years old, and they know more about the Bible than I do. I mean, I don't even know John 3:16. And I'm teaching this Sunday school class. Brent Spillman, at that time, he wasn't the pastor of Little Bethel Baptist Church. At that time, he was 10 years old. Little Brent Spillman said, Brother Eddie, how we know we're going to like it when we get to heaven? My little cogs is up there spinning there, you know what I mean? I said, come on, Lord, give me something here. And I didn't know what to say. I said, Brent, you like it down here? Well, yeah, Brother Eddie, I like it down here. I said, well, the Bible said it's far better to part be a Christ. I got a feeling you're going to like it pretty good when you get up there. I got a feeling we get up there, we're going to be like that woman that came to see Solomon at Queen of Sheba, that she said the half has not been told. Amen. I mean, we see in part and we know in part, but then we're going to see face to face and we're going to take off lickety split and no wonder the streets are gold. They catch on fire as asphalt.
Amen.
Man, we'll forget about being Methodist, Baptist, and everything else. I mean, man, we'll be home, amen. I mean, glory to God, all our journey will be over with. I don't drive my tent stakes very deep down here. This ain't home. I'm scared to even vote anymore. My citizenship's in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm already seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm as good as there already. I'm just waiting to catch up with what's already there. Amen. But the good thing about getting saved is, you ain't even got to worry about hell no more. It no longer can lay any claim to you. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, oh, by the way, I got the keys.
That's right.
He said, I'm he that was dead and alive forevermore. And behold, I got the keys of death and hell. I ain't worried about it, Todd.
Amen.
I know the one's got the keys. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, if any of you have any trouble closing your eyes tonight because of that fearful thought, that you might open them up in hell. See that rich man, Luke 16, the Bible said he opened his eyes in hell. That's a fearful thing.
Yes.
Matter of fact, buddy, when he opened them eyes in hell, he cried out, Brother Philip. He cried out. He said, I'm in torment. Hell is not a place to even visit, much less spend eternity, beloved. Now, I don't want to spend very long on hell. I want to talk about salvation. Whew. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. It's kind of sad that someone like me had to go through so much trouble to get saved. I still remember it. I'm going to throw this in here. Now, he told them to take as long as they want. I'm going to take as long as I want. Now, we're going to have a meeting tonight. Hallelujah! Listen, 27 years ago, Eddie Wade wasn't saved. Eddie Wade was a town drunk. Had a filthy mouth, filthy man. Done unthinkable things. I wished I could undo it all, but God, he put on the blood and never remember no more against me. You know how far God put away your sins? As far as the east is from the west. You know, when you're going east, you'll never find the west. Ain't that something? Hallelujah. I'm glad he done that. Amen. So nobody's ever going to find mine. They're as far away as you can put them. But anyway, we've been married 40 years. My good Christian wife, after we've been married 13 years, been married to a drunk, the devil himself, everything but a husband, everything but a father. I'd give anything to have that chance over, Brother Melvin. I really wished I could have been what I should have been. But anyway, just a little thread of hope. She said, Eddie, did you hear about Sandra Ford? That's my cousin's wife. Did you hear about Sandra Ford getting saved? I said, well, no. She said, well, I just thought you might want to know. See, the Bible said just one word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. So she's just kind of trying to throw a little a little hope out there, you know, a little thread of hope. Well, I did want to know about Sandy Ford getting saved, but not exactly like she wanted to know. I mean, that's my drinking buddy. So I loaded the car down and headed over to his house and said, get out here, I want to talk to you. And she's, I guess, went back to the back bedroom back there praying. She just got saved, I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing, I'll be talking about praying here in a minute. I'm out there in the driveway and I'm ranting and raving and I'm, for lack of better words, I'm done into the overkill because I'm just completely out of my mind because I'm a lost man full of devil, full of sin. And my cousin said something, I can't hardly believe he said this. He said, and I mean, I'm giving her down the road. I'm taking God's name in vain. I'm shaking my fist. I'm just daring God to even meddle with me. Boy, that's stupid. But he said something phenomenal, Michelle. He said, Eddie, if you think that's something, Sandy's going to get baptized 2 weeks from now. He said, that ain't like Sandy is. I said, there you go. They'll have you down there baptizing you. I was the next one in line behind her when she got baptized. God had a little humor in it. He had a little humor in it. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, I told him, I said, well, old buddy, I'll just tell you, I'm going to get good and drunk. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go fishing tomorrow. If you want to go with me, fine. If you don't, the blank, blank with you. And I let him out. And I, Brother Todd, I put one hand over one eye so I would quit seeing double. And I got up there in the windshield trying to figure out how far the car was in front of me. When I got on my road, I just put it to the floor like a slot car. I cleaned this ditch out a while and cleaned that ditch out a while, but they led me home. I got up the next morning, still drunk from the night before. In my bedroom, I was getting dressed to go fishing. My bedroom door opened up, and a little 8-year-old boy walked up to his drunk daddy. God used him mightily that Sunday morning. Tears running down his cheeks, off of his chin, little lip a quivering. Walked up to his 200-plus-pound drunk daddy, and he said, Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? I was 34 years old. For the first time in my life, you listen to me, for the first time in my life, I saw the real Eddie Wade. That's the first time I'd ever seen myself like I needed to see myself, the fool that I really was. And I choked on the words. It's the funnest thing in my mind. I wanted to figure out a way out of it. There was no way out, and I fell down right in front of that little boy, Brother Philip. It didn't roll out like you think. I tried my best not to say what I said. I said, of course Daddy go to church you today. And he went running down the hall. Mama, Mama, Daddy's going to church me today, Mama. And me and the devil's back there. I mean, buddy, it's Royal Rumble. I mean, you done went and done it now. I mean, I'm in over my head. There's a yellow streak up my back. It's why don't be laughing. It wasn't funny at the time. And I went to church with my family that day. We went where they still preach the Word of God. You see, the Bible said, how should they hear without a preacher? How should they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings? Man, I'm telling you, I knew this man. We used to ride to work together. We worked together. And his wife and my wife was best friends, and I thought I was in good company. But anyway, before I got in there and knew he was in there, let me just tell you, my family went on in the house of God, and I'm sitting out there in the car, and me and the devil's out there trying to figure out how we're going to get out of this, because I didn't want to go in there. He didn't want me to go in there. And he told me, he said, if you open that door, they're going to look down there and nose at you and say, who brought him in here? And I really believed that lie. And I finally got out of the car, went over there and got a hold of that doorknob and come real close, running back, getting the car and driving home, but I didn't. I turned that doorknob, opened that up, and that preacher come running straight to me and he said, get on in here, we're glad to have you. Amen. So much for that looking down the nose stuff, you know what I mean? And I bound to made him drunk with my breath. I mean, I was still, from the night before, just saturated. I sit back on the back row. You know how people do when they're lost. Sit back on the back row and try to hide in the Word of God. But I got news for you. You can't. It'll find you out. It'll arrest you. I got so arrested that day with conviction, you just can't believe it. But anyway, he got up there and he got to preaching. And man, I got mad. I mean, I'm talking about my fist doubled up. I thought, my wife has told him everything I've done. I mean, I got mad. I thought, when we get home, boy, she's had it. She's had it. Well, then I got mad at him. I thought, who does he think he is? We used to ride motorcycles together. Man, we carpooled together. Who does he think he is? I was going to hit him in the mouth on the way out the door, and it wasn't going to be one time neither. But when God got done with me, I couldn't mess with her. I couldn't mess with him. I was completely arrested with conviction. God had my number. He's bigger than me. For such a time as that, I was there in church. And I'll tell you, buddy, I still remember they sung "Just As I Am." And it was like the devil put concrete on my feet. I couldn't move them. But it wouldn't have done no good, Brother Graham. I didn't know what to do anyway. I'd never been in church. I didn't know nothing about church. I didn't know nothing about God. I didn't know nothing about getting saved. All I knew was I was lost. That was all. And you know, if you can acquire the fact that you're lost, you can get saved, because that's the first step to getting saved. You got to get lost, and you got to have God's help to get lost, because godly soul, work of repentance, not to be repented of. And I want you to know, I was good and lost. I was sorry for my sin, and I wanted to be saved. I just didn't know how to be saved. And Brother Grayland and I had worked with a man at R. Donnelly, and he wasn't ashamed of Jesus. Who was that in here talking about talk? Was it you talking about the preacher? Yeah. Well, how? You know, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We do need to speak off about the Lord. There's somebody out there that needs to hear it. They might not act like they want to, but they need to. They don't want you to be silent. They want you to talk about the Lord, because they want to find out about eternity, salvation, heaven, and the Word of God. And that's why we're down here. We're His ambassadors. We're His witnesses. We're the ones that's supposed to be in His stead, letting the light shine now. Well, this man did that. His name was Wendell Shaws. Anybody here know Wendell Shaw in Edmond, Kentucky? Well, hands coming up everywhere. Well, God knew Wendell Shaw. And I went out, R. Donnelly's son, 10 acres underneath the roof, every Brother Todd, looking for Wendell Shaw. And then people out there working, I said, I mean, you get good and lost, you do stupid stuff like this. I said, has anybody seen Wendell? Has anybody seen Wendell? I got to find Wendell. They said, Eddie, we're busy. We don't know where he is. I never let up. I frantically running through that factory. Anybody seen one? I need to get to one. I got to find Wendell. Finally, somebody, just in an effort to get rid of me, said, I think he's in the foreman's office. And he was. And I opened up the door of that foreman's office, and this foreman, Jimmy Hurston, and this man, Wendell Shaw, was talking about printing, and I'm good and lost. And I opened up that door, and I said, I don't care what neither one of y'all is talking about. I'm lost. And I need to be saved, and I don't know how to be saved. It'd been good to got a picture of that. Now, you're talking about making a selfie. That would have been a good one to get, because their jaw fell down this far. Like, you believe that? And that foreman, he quoted about five verses. Maybe something like Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, gave his own begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Something like that. And you know what? The natural man receives not the things of God, neither can he know they're foolish to him. But I'll tell you what he did though, Brother Grayland. He planted.
Amen.
Planted the seed. Wendell Shaw, he said, Eddie, I want to leave right now.
Bless you, man.
We walked outside that foreman's office. It's a hall right here. We're right here in the middle of this hall. Here's the foreman's office. The door to the foreman's office. Here's the door to the men's restroom. And people's brushing our shoulders on both sides. And Wendell Shaw says, Eddie, Jesus loves you, Eddie. He said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you. He said, he's just waiting for you to ask him. And he gave me the best illustration I ever heard in my life, Brother Todd. He said, Eddie, if your little boy done something wrong, see, God had used that little boy to get me in church. He said, if your little boy done something wrong, he'd come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, well, I'd forgive him. He said, same way with God.
Amen.
Well, there was a spark of faith come up in my heart. I could have stood up against Goliath at that moment, even right there. I wasn't saved, but I knew God would save me just as soon as I asked him. And you know, the Bible said, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's rewarded of those that diligently seek him. Anyway, I drove home like a madman this time, but I stayed on the road. I didn't clean no ditches out. And just soon I got home, I mean, I never talked to nobody. I went straight back here to my bedroom, and I knelt down there at my bedside. And even though it was 27 years ago, I'm going to tell you exactly what I prayed. I knelt down and I said, Dear Lord, somebody told me you love me. Somebody told me that if I would ask you, that you'd forgive me my sins and you'd save my soul. And I said, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me And all of a sudden, heaven came down. How do you know you're saved, Brother Eddie? All my guilt left immediately. All my condemnation disappeared. And the peace of God flooded my soul and the joy unspeakable. I'm telling you, there was so much of it. I got up and looked in the mirror. I don't have one, but I looked in the mirror and there was nothing in that mirror that I could see any different, but oh Lord, there was something different in here. I went all over Glasgow apologizing to people about bragging about how drunk I was going to get. Apologized to people, giving them a cussing. Told them I saved now and told them I want to be forgiven. Run my loving mother down and said, Mama, I got saved. And she put a little bony finger in my face. And she said, when you get home, she said, you look up the word fanatic, that's what you are, and I still am. But I want to get off all that because I want to preach tonight. I just had to throw that in there. Listen, when you get saved, you sleep. I hope my wife always said, I wish I could sleep like you do. I said, just get right with God, honey. It's a package deal. He giveth His beloved sleep. I can sleep standing up. I've slept out there at work. They say, you awake? I said, yeah. They say, how you do that? I said, it's just the blessing of being saved. You ain't worried about nothing. Man, I tell you what, if a terrorist come in here, I'd volunteer. Say, hey, I'm in a hurry, get home, let the rest of these go, and just take me out. Who is he'll harm you if you be followers of him and be followers of good? You know, when you read that verse, it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Do you understand he can still kill my body, but he can't kill me? He can cut my head off. He'll have to pick it up by the ears. I ain't got no hair. But you know what? He can't prosper because I've got eternal life. Now, he can kill the body, but that's all he can do. And I don't fear him because all he can do is that. But fear him that's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Yea, fear him that drove me to him. I run to him. I laid hold on eternal life and got a refuge for my soul. Amen. All right, let's give it the message now. When you get saved, it's simple. Matter of fact, Paul told the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 3, he said, many have done harm to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. First thing will happen when you get saved is you'll be born again. You'll be born of God, born from above. 1 John chapter 1, verse 12 through 13 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe upon his name. And that next verse, I'm going to chop it all to pieces just so you'll get the meaning of it. Which were born of God. Now I know that middle part's going to throw you for a loop. But it really just says you're born of God. I got born to Bobby and Dolores Wade, February the 20th, 1954. I got born into the family of God, April 27th, 1988. I remember that real good. The other night I just happened to one day realize I had been born and I was... You know, in the world. But I'll tell you, I was 34 years old when I got that second birth. But oh, listen, begotten by the Word. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation. And I'll tell you what, you'll not just be saved, but you'll receive His Spirit. And that Spirit will lead you and guide you through life. You won't have to, you know, I hear people all the time, they say, yeah, but I can't live it. Hey, I can't either. It's Christ in me. Christ living in me. I mean, every day I'm learning. Every day I'm finding more than I ever realized in Him. Amen. That's there for me. He promised to provide my every need out of His riches and glory. I'm finding more strength. I'm finding more joy. And I'm finding it in Him. Amen.
Amen.
I want no any way to die so He can live. Amen.
Right.
But I'm going to condescend this down to the little children. Listen, Jesus never did need to be saved. But he's showing you the steps of it. See, the preacher just got through preaching. And he come to him and said, I want to be baptized. And the preacher said, I mean, really, he wasn't in the wrong. He did have need to be baptized with Jesus. Because Jesus, he said, he'll baptize with the fire and the Holy Ghost. And you know, he wasn't just saying that. It was true. But Jesus said, suffer to be so, so we can fulfill all righteousness. He said, I got to show what it's like. I got to show the steps. And he suffered him. Now listen, when John baptized Jesus, when he come up, you notice the heavens were open to him. You see, there's blasts before I got saved. Now they're open now, Michelle. I got access to God. I don't need no guy with no ice cream hat on. There's one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. He's the only potentate. I now have access to the Holy of Holies. I can go to the throne of grace myself. Man, brother over talking about praying. Man, praise God. Spend a little time down on your knees talking to God. Man, He desires that. He deserves that. I mean, Jesus told that thirsty woman there in John chapter 4, those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He desires such. He wants you to worship Him. He wants you to have the truth. He wants you to have the Spirit. He'll supply them. But listen, children, I'm trying to really put this down there for the children. I know you adults already know what I'm saying here. But little children, Jesus is showing here the heavens will be open to you. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God came down and descended upon Him. I'd never known about no Spirit. Till it come down. Man, it's good. Amen. See, the Bible said there in Romans chapter 8 that He giveth us of His Spirit. And His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Man, I don't doubt it no more. Man, I got too much evidence. I shouted. My mama, not the only one, called me a fanatic. Man, they say, man, you're crazy. I say, yeah, but I'm the right kind of crazy, amen. I know Him, amen. I mean, Festus told Paul, much learning doeth make thee mad. He said, I ain't mad, but I'm just good and saved, amen. You get good and saved, you won't fit in there no more. You'll be a peculiar person. Amen. You'll be a Mr. Crook in the first generation. You'll stand out. I mean, it's odd. They'll think it's strange. You don't run to the same access to ride as they do. By the way, since then, I've read the Bible completely through 17 times. Most amazing adventure anyone could ever do. I'm going to tell you some things about the Bible real quick here. I've got a lot of liberty here tonight. I don't know why. But in Proverbs chapter number 4, I don't know the exact verse, talking about verse 22. God said, my son, let not my words depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for their life to all those that find them. Listen. And health to the flesh. You want to be healthy? You want to not have to worry about cancer? You want to not have to worry about diabetes? You want to not have to worry about anything like that? You listen to me. God, who cannot lie, He said they are life to those that find them and health to their flesh. You want to be healthy? I'm 62 years old. I don't even take a baby aspirin. My wife, oh Lord. Probably just because she's been married to me 40 years. She takes a handful of pills every day. I took one pill, brother. The gospel cured everything. It sure did. And I'll tell you right now, I don't mean that. You know, if a doctor tells you to take something, you do it. By the way, just remember this. They're practicing physician. He's the great physician. But I'll tell you one thing. There's a lot of healthy things to read in your Bible. The Bible says He'll give you perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Him. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, people's going insane in this day and hour we're living in. Boy, I ain't. Man, I'll tell you what, bud, I feel better than I've ever felt in my life sanity-wise. Because I know in whom I have believed. I know He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. But listen here, the heavens will be open to you. The Spirit of God will come down and light upon you. You'll be children of light, children of the Most High God. And listen, that voice, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Amen. When you get saved, children, God says, this is my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. He'll send His Spirit down here and you'll say, whoa, this is good. Matter of fact, Psalms 34 verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. I got in the buffet line. I didn't want a sample. I'm still supping. Amen. But oh, listen. What simple analogy the Lord showed here. He heard the preaching. He come forward. And in His case, Understandably, John said, "Hey, I got need to be baptized. You," he said, "suffer to be so. It becometh us for all righteousness." Jesus said, I need to set an example here. He never was ever lost. Please don't get mixed up here. He never was ever lost. But he wanted to show us something. And in obedience, he came to the preacher, allowed him to baptize him. He come up out of that water. The heavens were open to him. The Spirit of God descended like a dove down upon him. Amen. And the voice from heaven said, "It's my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Now let's go over to the next chapter. Mm-hmm. Oh me. I need to throw this in here. See, when you get saved, as jubilee as it is, as wonderful it is, the Lord wanted to also show you that somebody not happy about it. The Bible said he was immediately tempted of the devil. He'd fasted for 40 days. He's afterward hungered. Here come the tempter. Now, listen what the tempter said. If, see, he's questioning his salvation. He'll question your salvation. Matter of fact, he questioned mine. And I thought I must have something. He never did it before. He never did ever come to me and say, "You didn't really get saved until I got saved." And then he started kind of, you know, debating me about it, you know. By the way, the Bible does say, "Work out your own salvation, fear and trembling." Get some Bible nails in that thing, because I'll tell you right now, it's a pretty rough road this side of heaven, amen. There is a devil down here walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But that devil come to Jesus in similitude, like he'll come to you, and he said, now he's hungry now. This is a fleshly temptation. "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they may be bread, that thou mayest eat thereof." And Jesus said, "It's written." Remember that. Amen. It's written. Get a little Bible in your belt. When that liar comes to you, Jesus said, John chapter 8, verse number 30 and 31, he said, "If you be my disciples, continue in my word, and you'll know the truth." You'll know the difference between a lie and a truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That tempter is going to come. He's going to come against you, just like Jesus showed us right there. He's going to question your sonship. And I'm going to comment on a couple more here real quick. But Jesus said, "It's written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by what?"
Every word.
Amen. Say it again, sis.
Every word.
Amen. Every word. See, out of the mouth of God.
Yeah, amen.
After that temptation, which was a fleshly temptation, then you know every now and then we get these peacock feathers, you know. I don't know how it was with y'all, but I got a little too big for my britches, and God had to pull a few feathers out. You see, the Bible says God resisteth the proud, but he exalts the humble. And I got a little too big my britches there, brother Melvin, and God had to pull a few of my feathers out. But anyway, with that in mind, the Bible said that the devil took him up on a high pinnacle. The devil can quote a little bit of Bible.
Yeah.
He quoted a passage out of Psalms chapter 91. The devil took him up on a high pinnacle, and he said, "Cast thyself down, for it's written, he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, and they'll bear thee up in thy arm, in their arm, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus, again, Brother Todd, said, "It's written, thou shalt not tempt
Amen.
The Lord thy God."
Amen.
Now the devil, he's going to come against you. Jesus is showing you right here. I mean, right after God says, "I'm pleased with it." Well, here comes the tempter, and he's going to try you, and he's going to sift you as wheat. He's your enemy. He's your adversary.
Amen.
And the last temptation. Boy, a lot of these old Baptist preachers didn't make it through this one, Brother Todd. The Bible said the devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them in a moment's time. And he said, "All this I'll give you if you'll bow down and worship me." A lot of y'all don't know this, but a lot of the musicians that you listen to, they made a deal with the old devil. They sure did. They'll tell you. They won't deny it. That's how they became popular and famous, and that's how they became wealthy. But it sure is going to be bitter in the end. It's going to be like wormwood. But anyway, the devil showed him all of that. And the devil said, "All this I'll give you if you'll bow down and worship me." And Jesus told that devil, get thee hence. For it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. Listen, you're going to worship something.
That's true.
You really are. You're going to worship your car. You're going to worship your house. You're going to worship your bank account. Or you're going to worship yourself. Or you're going to worship one that's worthy to be worshipped, the living God that inhabits the praise of his people. And I'll tell you right now, if there ever was one worthy that I'm telling it or to deserve worship, it's him. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus told that devil, get thee hence, Satan. It's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. You know what the Bible said? It said that devil left him for a little season. He's not going to be gone forever. He's just going to be gone for a little while. But listen to the simplicity of that. The preachers preached. He's invited even the Pharisees and the Sadducees to repent. Bring forth fruits meant for repentance. They wouldn't, but they could have. But those, Jesus said those publicans and harlots are going to go in before him because they did repent at the preaching of John. And he's over and he's baptizing them. I'm watching that clock up there and it's baptizing me, amen. But listen, the Lord showed us what salvation's all about. He showed us that you're going to have trials, tribulation. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, be good cheer, Michelle. He said, I've overcome the world. We're overcomers through him. Old Eddie Wade can't overcome nothing. Man, I'll make a mess of everything I try to do, Brother Melvin. But oh, praise God. The Bible said we're more than conquerors. You know what more than conqueror is? That means you cannot be conquered. I mean, thanks be to God that giveth us the what? Victory in Christ Jesus. That's where we got it. It wasn't in the Baptist church. It didn't have nothing to do with Eddie Wade. It didn't have nothing to do with you. It had something to do with him. On the cross, hanging between heaven and earth, he said, it is finished. And buddy, I'll tell you what, the earth quaked, sky went dark, the veil went from the top to the bottom. And when it was all said and done, the smoke cleared, he said, look what I got. Woo! I got the keys. Devil had to relinquish him. He conquered him right there. He didn't even see it coming. The Bible said if the prince of this world had known, they wouldn't have crucified him. He just done it right out there, right in front of him. He didn't even see it coming. Oh me. I don't know how it is with you tonight, but it's well my soul. I'll sleep better than anybody in here. If the trumpet sounds tonight, don't worry about me missing the gathering in the sky. Mentioned there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. So sure, don't worry about me. I'll be in that number, that call, that assembly. I told them in here tonight, and I'll tell it again tonight. In the United States, we got astronauts. In Russia, they got cosmonauts. But God's got was nots. Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. I'm going to be a was not, amen. They're going to say that, Eddie, he was right here. And now he's was not. He's gone. He's walking now. He's gone. Bible said Enoch walked with God and he was not because God took him, amen. What a meeting that's going to be. I can't sing a lick, but I believe over there will be able to, amen. But oh, listen, glory to God. The devil, he's not happy because you're saved, but it's all right. Let him get over it, amen. I'm telling you, praise God, Jesus shows that, praise God, that we can make it to heaven through him. A door's been opened through him, a new and living way, that through him, whosoever will, let him come and drink the waters of life freely. Glory to God. Cut a lot of, I'm like old Mays Jackson. He said he's preaching like good baloney. He said you can cut off either end, it's still good. I cut both ends off this thing tonight. I wanted to give my testimony. I believe it's believable. But if you got any doubts about it at all and you're here lost, won't you come up here for your own self? Call upon him, it's rich in mercy. For your own self, find out he's able. See, God said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, tremendous verse. He said, come now. Not just come, but come now. Urgent, come. Urgent invitation. Come now, saith the Lord. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. No problem on his end. Jesus said in St. John chapter 5, verse 40, he said, you will not come to me that you may have life. No problem on his end. Matter of fact, he said in verse 39, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I'm just a man, but oh, I know him. And that makes me somebody going somewhere, and I got somewhere to go. I'm glad he made a place. And I've got reservations. Matter of fact, I've got a seat up there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It won't be long. I'll finally be home. I don't know how long it's going to be. I just know it ain't going to be long. I know, praise God, things are the way things are looking. I mean, they had an earthquake this morning. And you know, one of the signs of the last days was earthquakes in divers places. And I tell you what, they had bombings and wars and everything getting out of order. I mean, all of those leaders over there, Saddam Hussein gone, Muammar Gaddafi gone. It ain't going to be long that Assad over there in Syria is going to be gone. The leader of Egypt, that Mathar, I can't say his name, Murak or whatever, he's gone. Nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and all that right there. And we sit here like a knot on logs saying, Lord, move me. You better be running. You better get a refuge for your soul. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. Lord, we feel like, Lord, we've done that which you'd have us to do tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd do what we can't do tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd look at every heart. I pray, dear Father God, if there's one here tonight that needs to do something, I pray, Lord, you'd cause their heart to beat like a jungle drum. And I pray, Lord, they'd have to run up here and get things fixed up. And Lord, if they do, I'll just give you praise and glory for whatever you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. I'd like to ask the pastor, beloved man of God. I love Brother Philip. I'd like to ask him to come here.